106.9 WCTR, the greatest hits of all time. It's More and Less in the Morning. It's Thursday. It's time for Pet Patter with Dr. Rachel Crockett. Good morning, Dr. Crockett.
Good morning.
So I'm going to run on the knife here. A lot of times I use my own puppies as things to ask about. When we're with our pets every day, sometimes there are things that we might notice and we don't really think they are anything. I brought Molly in and she had a little place on her foot that she has had off and on. But then she'd leave it alone for a while and it'd heal up, and I never really thought any more about it. Well, it was pretty bad. And so it turns out it's a thing, and it's something that we should be concerned about. And it's called a lick granuloma. And I'd like you to tell us a little bit more about what that is, what some of the causes are, and how important it is to not let it go.
So they are pains in the butts is what they are. It's almost like a plaque. That forms, and it's usually on the lower legs on the top of it that is easy access for dogs. I mean, cats can get granulomas too, but they're of a different variety. Dogs definitely has, there's a lot of factors that contribute to a lick granuloma, and it's just something that they'll often just keep licking at. It might scab over, but opens up. It's usually kind of raw looking, with irregular margins to it. Usually it's got irregular margins to it. If it's a perfect circle, there are some tumors that'll crop up, and they might have the same kind of color and appearance as a lick granuloma. So you do have to be careful kind of, you know, when you're trying to figure out which is which. But a lot of times, just because of the location and, you know, how the appearance that we're dealing with a lick granuloma, sometimes the acral lick granuloma is what they're called. So there are a lot of different factors that kind of go into a lick granuloma. I mean, if it was just something like, it's very similar in appearance to what we call like a hot spot, mm-hmm. which can happen anywhere on the body. Usually it's on, you know, the face or the cheek, hot spots are, and we clip them, we get some air to them. The technical term for a hot spot is focal moist dermatitis. So basically, if you dry it out, you get some antibiotics on board, maybe a steroid shot, something, or topical steroids, something to alleviate the irritation, they clear up pretty readily. It's a pretty treatable thing, a hot spot. But unfortunately, when you get lick granulomas down on the lower aspect of the forelimbs or the hind limbs, in dogs, there's an additional factor that kind of comes into play, and that's, not only do you have an infection on the surface of the skin, and it may have been caused by, you know, maybe a bite, a sting, some kind of trauma to the skin initially, and it may have started as a hot spot, but they continually can go at it and lick at it. And that's the main difference, because with each continual lick, you know, it kind of opens and makes that skin raw again. And it doesn't necessarily allow it to heal. And the reason they keep licking is because they're, you know, every time they go at that raw skin, they're getting some serotonin released. And so that's kind of a positive feedback mechanism for the brain saying, hey, you know, even this is raw, it kind of feels kind of good to keep licking at it. And you've got other factors that play into that, other behavioral factors like, you know, boredom or just kind of stress or whatever can play a role and just kind of increase that habit of, hey, you know, I might as well have a go at this. And that's the thing that makes it so difficult to heal, because when we go and treat the lick granulomas, yeah, we might employ the steroid again. We might employ the antibiotic again. But if they keep licking at it past the courses of those things, then we're stuck with that thing for quite some time. And it might get better. It might come back. It might get better, come back. And the other thing, too, is you can treat a lick granuloma by actually removing that affected tissue, that highly sensitized skin the dog just wants to keep licking, to get down to normal skin. It's just the location of where these things are makes it so incredibly difficult as well. So if you think about the lower leg in dogs, you just don't have a lot of skin to close once you remove that affected tissue itself. So that usually, I mean, that might be in some... maybe I've done that once or twice. It's just such a you-know-what to try and close. And a lot of times if you can't close it, if you got too much tension on it, I mean, that's a recipe for disaster, trying to get that to heal, the sutures. And then if you if you can't close it, if there's not enough skin to close without tension, then you're removing the section of skin and leaving that open to granulate in anyway, and you're kind of in the same ballpark, unless you're really making sure that the animal can't get, you know, can't continually lick at the skin, like maybe with an e-collar or some kind of fancy bandaging system or fancy bandage. But it can be really difficult. So a lot of times we employ kind of the triple aspect of treatment when we're going for medical treatment, and that is a tapering course of steroids to really get at the inflammation that would be causing irritation there. Then the antibiotic, because it is raw and usually it is infected. The antibiotic is, you know, anywhere from 10 to 14 days, but maybe even longer if it's a particularly difficult one to get on top of. And then the third thing that we try and do is kind of break that lick cycle. You can do it with an e-collar, and you can do it with an e-collar alone, but the problem is it's like putting somebody in a straitjacket that has, you know, really itchy hives or poison ivy or something. I mean, you're not really helping. I mean, you're kind of preventing them from doing further harm, but it's miserable. So using a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, that kind of helps break that lick cycle along with the physical barrier, if we need to use a physical barrier like a cone or a bandage. And most of the serotonin reuptake inhibitors are anxiety medications or anxiolytics. The one we routinely use with our dogs is fluoxetine, which is Prozac. It can take a while to build, can take a couple of weeks, but really when you're talking about treating an acrylic granuloma, you're talking, it's going to be more than a few weeks. The initial medications like the steroid and the antibiotic usually are enough to calm down the infection, the surface infection, but to really kind of get back to some healthy skin, then they need to be on something for a little bit longer term. And that's where that fluoxetine kind of can be helpful and kick in. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're on it indefinitely. Usually what I tell people is when they get to the end of the bottle, they can start tapering off and see where we're at with that. And I think there's like 100 count in the bottle. So it's several months worth of trying to break the cycle and just stop and allowing that skin to heal. But they are notoriously difficult. And a lot of times it's not something that we kind of just say, hey, this is what it is, this is what we do. But they're a headache for vets as well as owners, that's for sure.
Can a dog get more than one? Can they have one on more than one leg? Or is it usually just concentrated on one?
It's usually concentrated on one, but I've seen animals that will shift focus. So because, I don't know, they started on another one, then they'll go at that one specifically, and the other one will heal up and look better. But they've just kind of shifted over to a different one. And that might be when you bandage one and you really kind of just focusing on the physical barrier there, know that, hey, that urge might be manifested on a different leg since they've got three others. It's not necessarily often I'll see those cases. Usually it's just that one spot on that one leg. It is common, unfortunately, to go through kind of the treatment, get it to heal up, and to come up with another one later on in life, whether or not it's next allergy season or a few years down the road. And sometimes it goes away, and that's that. So it's kind of playing it by ear, making sure you're addressing kind of all the factors that can go into it, and then just kind of stay in the course. And just, it's something that doesn't necessarily go away like a hot spot would.
How important is it to address that? What's the worst case scenario if you let one go and don't treat it and it doesn't heal up on its own?
I think the longer it goes, the harder it is to have it heal up. I think that's the takeaway. So the longer a dog kind of is licking at that spot, that's when the nerves really get affected, and kind of the lick cycle gets more and more established. Because remember, you're not just dealing with some physical pathology, you're dealing with kind of the behavioral one as well. So the longer you've got that behavior established, I think the harder it becomes to treat. Certainly there are dogs out there who have had lick granulomas where they, you know, they haven't received that attention, and they kind of do, they hang out. A lot of times it just becomes a lot harder, I think, in terms of management from the owner's perspective, because basically you're dealing with an infection that's kind of constantly there. So you're trying, a lot of people will go to topicals like sprays and things like that that they can easily get a hold of, wound sprays and gels, and that'll help keep the redness out of it, but it won't necessarily kind of address the other factors that go into it. And so it just, it's there and it stays longer and it's more susceptible to infection, like anything that has an underlying cause. And you get a secondary infection on top of it. You know, if you're always just dealing with a secondary infection, you're still keeping, you know, you're still doing okay and keeping the infection at bay, but you're just going to have to be dealing with it constantly. And if you're not keeping the infection at bay, that's when you can get to conditions like cellulitis, or, you know, where it affects the surrounding skin and kind of creates a much larger problem than just that one little plaque.
If you have a question you'd like Dr. Crockett to answer on a future show, you can email her at askdrc@wctr.com. This has been Pet Patter.